Mr. Sanson. Mr. Sanson, a former member of the Parisian Spiritist Society, died on April 21, 1862, after a year of cruel suffering. Foreseeing his end, he had sent the Society's president a letter containing the following excerpt.
In the case of a sudden separation of my soul from my body, I wish to remind you of a request I made about a year ago. Please evoke my spirit as soon as possible and as often as is convenient for you, so that having been a sufficiently useless member of our society during my stay on earth, I may be of at least some use beyond the grave by providing you the means of studying, step by step, through evocation, the various circumstances resulting from what is commonly called death, but which for a spiritist is only a transformation in accordance with the impenetrable designs of God, though always useful for his purposes. Besides this authorization and request for you to give me the honor of this sort of spiritual autopsy, which my very little advancement as a spirit will perhaps render unfruitful, in which case your prudence will naturally lead you to go no farther than a certain number of experiments, I would dare to ask you personally, as well as all my colleagues, to pray to the Almighty to allow the good spirits to assist me with their benevolent counsels. In particular, I would ask St. Louis, our spirit president, to guide me in the choice and time for a new incarnation, an idea that I have been preoccupied with lately. I fear being mistaken about my spiritual abilities and asking God too early and presumptuously for a corporal life in which I would not warrant the divine goodness and which, instead of serving for my advancement, would prolong my stay on the earth or elsewhere in case I were to fail.
In order to satisfy his desire to be evoked as soon as possible after his passing, we went to the mortuary with a few members of the society, and in the presence of his body, and an hour before his burial, we were given the following communication. We had a twofold objective in doing this: fulfilling his last request, and observing once more the situation of the soul immediately after death, and this with a man who was eminently intelligent, enlightened, and deeply convinced of spiritist principles. It was interesting for us to verify the influence of such convictions on the state of his spirit as it gathered its first impressions of spirit life. Our expectations were not disappointed. With perfect lucidity, Mr. Sanson described the moment of his transition. He had been able to witness his own death and rebirth, an unusual circumstance that was due to the elevation of his spirit. Mortuary Chamber, April 23, 1862. Evocation.
I am answering your call in order to fulfill my promise.
My dear Mr. Sanson, we ourselves are fulfilling a duty and are pleased to be able to evoke you as soon as possible after your death, as was your desire.
It is a special blessing of God to allow my spirit to communicate. I thank you for your goodwill, but I am weak and trembling.
You had suffered so much that I thought we might ask you how you feel now. Do you still feel your pain? What sensations are you experiencing in comparing your present situation with that of 2 days ago?
My situation is quite happy, for I feel none of my former pain. I have recovered and am renewed, as you used to say. My transition from earth life to the spirit life might have made everything incomprehensible at first, because we sometimes remain many days without recovering our lucidity. But before dying, I prayed to God, asking him to allow me to speak to those whom I wish well, and he heard me.
How long did it take for you to recover your mental lucidity?
8 hours, God, I repeat, has given me proof of his goodness. He deemed me more worthy than I actually am, and I could never thank him as I should.
Are you sure that you no longer belong to our world? If so, how can you prove it?
Oh, I am absolutely no more of your world, but I will always be close to you in order to protect and uphold you as you proclaim the charity and self-denial that guided my life. In my next one, I will teach the true faith, the Spiritist faith, that must uplift the beliefs of the just and good. I feel strong and robust, transformed in a word. You would no longer recognize me as the old invalid who had to avoid everything, to abandon every pleasure and happiness. I am a spirit. My homeland is the expanse of space, and my future is God, who radiates throughout the immensity of it all. I would very much like to speak to my children in order to teach them what they have always shown themselves ill-disposed to believe.
How does seeing your body here affect you?
My body, my poor and miserable remains, must return to dust, but I will always have a fond memory of all those who held me in esteem while incarnate. I look upon that poor decomposing flesh, the dwelling place of my spirit, my trial for so many years, and I say, thank you, my poor old body. You have purified my spirit. My suffering has been a tenfold blessing and has earned me a well-deserved place. That is why I have been able to communicate to you so soon.
Did you retain your awareness up to the last instant?
Yes, my spirit retained its faculties. I no longer saw, I foresaw. My entire life unfolded within my memory, and my last remembrance, my dying request, was to be able to communicate with you as I am doing right now. I next asked God to watch over you so that the dream of my life could be fulfilled.
Were you conscious at the moment in which your body breathed its last? What happened to you at that time? What sensations did you feel?
Life expires and sight, or rather the spirit's sight, darkens. You find yourself in the void, the unknown, and then, as if carried by an unknown power, you find yourself in a world where all is joy and wonder. I no longer felt anything, nor was I sure about what was occurring. Nonetheless, an ineffable happiness surrounded me, and I no longer felt the grip of pain.
Do you know what I intend to read at your tomb? I had barely begun to speak when the spirit responded before I could finish. Furthermore, and without having been asked, he addresses the discussion that had taken place among the attendees regarding the prospect of reading this communication at the cemetery, and who were concerned about the presence of individuals who might or might not share in our opinions.
Oh, my friend, I already know, because I was with you yesterday just as I am today. I am very satisfied with it. Thank you, thank you. Read it so that they can understand me and appreciate you. Don't worry, for everyone is respectful in the presence of death. Read it so the disbelievers may acquire faith. Goodbye. Read it courageously and confidently, so that my children may be converted to such an honorable belief.
During the ceremony at the cemetery, he dictated the following words.
May you no longer fear death, my friends. It is only another step for you if you have known how to live well. It is full of happiness if you have worthily deserved it and have completed your trials well. I repeat, courage and goodwill. Do not assign more than a mediocre value to earthly possessions, and you will be rewarded. One cannot enjoy a lot of things without depriving others of their well-being, thereby morally committing a great evil. May the earth lie lightly upon me.